Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. The annual Motor Trend International Auto Show opens tomorrow at the Baltimore Convention Center. More than 500 cars, not all makes and models, but lots and lots of makes and models, from the ultra expensive to the very practical. Some run on gas, some run on electricity, some on a little of both. Last year, we visited the auto show with a young man who knows an awful lot about cars, Rory Cahill. His expertise and opinions on all things automotive have attracted the attention of a lot of folks. On two occasions, General Motors has shipped a car to Rory's house and asked him to try it out for a week and then give them his unvarnished opinion. In the biz, he's known as an influencer. So this year, we have invited Rory back to talk about the latest cars, which ones he likes, which ones he doesn't like, and why. We aren't actually going to visit the auto show together this year, but Rory will certainly spend a lot of time there. Rory, of course, keeps up with the latest developments in the industry all year long, and he joins me here in the studio. Full disclosure, Rory is the son of one of our producers, Kathleen Cahill. There's only one thing Rory doesn't know about cars, actually, and that's how to drive them. Rory is 14 years old, 2 years shy of getting his license. Rory, it's good to see you again. How are you doing?
Hi, and I just think it's strange I'm considered an influencer when I can't actually drive cars.
That is kind of strange. So how does that work? When they ship you cars and you're supposed to try them out, you're sitting in the passenger seat, huh?
Yes.
Someone else is driving.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when it comes to how a car drives, your guess is literally as good as mine.
But then when the car is there, you're actually looking at it. You're getting a feel for it. You are sitting in all of the seats, even if you don't drive. You sit in the driver's seat, right? You get a sense of the car, and you study it. And when you go to the auto show, like this weekend, when you go, what are the kinds of things that you're gonna be looking for?
A few different things. I think it depends on the car, actually, because I look for different things depending on what the car is. Like, for instance, if it's a luxury car, I want the car to have a great interior. Preferably, I want it to be good looking on the outside as well. But the interior, I think, is the biggest part, because I think that, you know, you shouldn't have to see in a $90,000 car, you shouldn't be seeing or hearing hard plastic squeaks, rattles, all sorts of things that would be fine in an $18,000, $20,000 car. But
yeah, it's like you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My standards are certainly higher the more expensive a car is.
As well they should be. So do you have a favorite car for this year? I mean, is there, in your mind, the best car out there?
It's actually the Alpine A110, which is not sold here. But of cars that are sold in the country, I would say pretty much the same as last year. So there's the Alfa Romeo Giulia QV and the Honda Civic Type R.
So that's interesting. A Honda Civic and an Alfa Romeo Giulia QV. Are they in the same class, those two cars?
Not really, no. I mean, they're both performance-oriented models of ordinary cars, but not really. I mean, the Giulia has over 500 horsepower. It's about $70,000. It's a four-door sports sedan around the same size class as a BMW 3 Series, and it was made, actually, and developed by input of several Ferrari engineers. Ferrari and Alfa Romeo will both try to claim that the twin-turbo 2.9-liter V6 in the Giulia is all Alfa Romeo's own work, but it really isn't. Everyone in the automotive business knows that it doesn't really matter what they say. It's very clearly a Ferrari California T engine with two cylinders cut off.
Is that normal for two car companies to trade engineering like that? Is Alfa Romeo owned by Ferrari or something? Do they have any, you know, actual corporate relationship?
Alfa Romeo and Ferrari are owned by the same company, which is FCA. So that's Fiat Chrysler Automobiles.
So when they, you know, if an Alfa car has a Ferrari-based engine, that's not super surprising, right? But within this large corporate structure, is there a lot of competition between, you know, the Alfa division, the Ferrari division, the Chrysler division?
Not really, because I'm pretty sure that someone who's considering, say, a Ferrari 812 Superfast is not going to be considering a Chrysler Pacifica.
Yeah.
So basically,
one would think
within the corporate structures, different car companies and the people in charge basically try and structure the models and where they're placed so that one car brand doesn't trample all over the others.
So now the Honda Civic Type R. So there are different types of the Honda Civic. The Honda Civic seems like a pretty basic, almost first car for a lot of people. That's an entry car in the market, isn't it? I used to own them, and that's the kind I always used to buy.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty good at that as well. We actually used to own an old Honda Civic. It was a 93 CX, so the absolute basic model with like a 5-speed manual transmission, little 4-cylinder engine. It did have air conditioning, amazingly, and a cassette tape, but it had like wind-up windows. It was really old, and I absolutely love that car.
And the Type R, what's that? How's that different than
Type
the CX?
R, Type R is the designation for high-performance Hondas and Acuras. And overseas in Europe and Japan, there have been several generations of Civic Type R, and there have been Honda Accord Type Rs in Europe. There have been Integra Type Rs, one of which we actually got here and is one of only two Type Rs now that we've ever had in the U.S., and two NSX Type Rs, only sold in Japan and based on Honda's supercar, which is sold here as an Acura. The Civic Type R is only the second Type R model to come to the U.S., the first being the Integra, and it's the first of the Civic range. The first Civic Type R came out in 1996. We've waited over 20 years for this car in the enthusiast community.
And so the Japanese have been able to drive it in other places, but not here in the U.S.
Yeah, but not in the U.S.
Interesting.
And it's been absolutely worth the wait. I know a lot of people have been focused on the styling. It's extremely over the top. There are a lot of slits and grills, and there's a massive wing on the back and huge. It does look a little bit Fast and Furious, but if you can get past the styling, the car is truly incredible.
Mm-hmm, cool.
Motor Trend, for example, they placed the car fourth in their annual Best Driver's Car Performance Car Competition. Now, this is a competition with all sorts of super expensive, super powerful, six-figure supercars. And actually, three of those, the McLaren 720S, the Porsche 911 GT2 RS, and the eventual winner, the Lamborghini Huracan Performante, made up the podium. The Type R finished fourth, beating cars like the Aston Martin Vantage, the BMW M5, and most astonishingly for me, the Chevrolet Corvette ZR1.
Those are really expensive cars, too. What's a Honda Civic Type R go for?
About $35,000.
Wow, so that is quite a value.
You can fit people in it. There's a spacious back seat, room in the trunk for lots of things. It even rides very well, which you wouldn't expect looking at it, but it's pretty comfortable inside. It's not sparsely equipped. And the driving experience, I wouldn't know, obviously, but I've heard it's simply incredible.
Yeah, great.
Most front-wheel drive cars, when they're dealing with big power like the Type R is, it's got 306 horsepower. They have something called torque steer, which is when the front wheels have to deal with the steering and the power, and the power and the torque is so much that the car sort of steers itself. Apparently, that is not an issue with the Type R at all, and I just don't know how they've done that.
All right, so I want to ask you about a great category that you've invented called the best car that resembles a whale shark.
Yeah, and that's part of a trend that I don't really understand in the automotive industry, to make these massive gaping front ends that look like a whale shark consuming a school of plankton. Audi does that a lot, and so the best Audi in the range is the R8. Which is a mid-engined 600-horsepower supercar. And what's interesting about that is that even though it is a supercar, it doesn't have any of the usual supercar drawbacks. The ride isn't really stiff. It's not cramped. It's not all that difficult to see out of, considering. And it undercuts most other supercars from, like, Ferrari or Lamborghini by thousands and thousands of dollars. So it's one that I think a lot of rich people will overlook because they're badge snobs, but it's not one that should be overlooked.
What's the best affordable car on the market right now?
I'm going to go with one that isn't, this isn't necessarily the best affordable car, but it's the best one that isn't oriented for performance. I'm going to say the Mazda 3, great looking, really nice interior.
Costs about $18,000.
Costs about $18,000.
The funniest car name. The funniest car name. You got a favorite?
It's another Ferrari. Now, in the past, they've made a lot of ridiculously named cars. They made the Ferrari La Ferrari, which translates as Ferrari the Ferrari. They make a car called the GTC4 Lusso. And they make a car called the FXXK, which sounds like whoever was in charge of the naming department dropped a stapler on his foot and then censored himself.
You know, that happens in car businesses and in many other businesses. All right, Rory, it's great to see you. I appreciate your coming by and have a great time at the auto show this weekend.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Rory Cahill. Folks in the auto industry call him an influencer. We've got some pictures of some of the cars that Rory has talked about on our website, wypr.org/midday. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, our senior producer, Rob Sivak, will be sitting in for me for Midday at the Movies. Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Max Weiss, the executive editor of Baltimore Magazine, will join Rob and offer their Oscar prognostications. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will join Rob to talk about the terrific new show at Center Stage, Fun Home. Linnell and I saw it last week, and we loved it. I think it's just a terrific show. We'll find out what Judy thought of it tomorrow on Midday. Lunch today was provided by the Baltimore Chef Shop there on the Avenue in Hamden. They offer a variety of private events and cooking classes for kids and adults, including baking and international cuisines. Tomorrow night at 6:30, they're offering classes in Southern cooking and in sushi making. You can find out more on the web at BaltimoreChefShop.com. Life in the Balance with Aaron Henkin is up next after news at the top of the hour from NPR. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.